This is Karen Musgrave, and I'm conducting a Quilters SOS Save Our Stories interview with Jean Markland. Jean is in Williamstown, Massachusetts, and I'm in Naperville, Illinois, so we're conducting this interview over the telephone. And Jean, thank you so much for taking time out of your evening to talk to me. It is February 3rd, 2009, and it's now 6:40 in the evening. Tell me about your quilt, Lift Every Voice and Sing for Obama.
Well, it's about, I think it was, if I remember, 51 inches by 56, and it's a black and white, mostly fabric, or I should say it's mostly black and white fabric with a big red circle on it. And I made it because I was very excited about President Obama being elected and wanted to put that energy and excitement and a lot of other feelings into a piece. Do you want me to tell you more of like what I was thinking about?
Oh, yes, of course.
Okay. When the opportunity came up for the exhibit, I thought, well, I wanted to make something that both celebrated his election, but that also recognized all of the history that came before it. And, of course, while I was working on it, I realized there's no way in one piece I could put all of the history that came before it. But I did refer to a book I have that's called Before the Mayflower, A History of Black America, written by Lerone Bennett, Jr. And it was while I was going through that and sort of updating myself on black history that I saw the hymn, Lift Every Voice and Sing, and remembered singing it in a church I used to belong to, Grace Episcopal Church in Silver Spring, Maryland, that was a very diverse church, and one of the hymnals we had was called Lift Every Voice and Sing. And I always loved the song and just felt it really, it gave me strength when I sang it, and I felt that that was something that wasn't just I felt that, but that was shared by others. So when I was reading the book Before the Mayflower, it talked about how it was written by James Weldon Johnson in 1900, and that from the moment it was first performed, it struck a chord with many people and became what was known as the Negro National Anthem. So the words particularly of the first verse, and I knew I could only get so much on one quilt, I thought were the best ones in terms of celebrating the election of Barack Obama. While I was working on the quilt, I also listened to a book on tape of Rosa Parks, which was both about Rosa Parks and the history of civil rights from the probably 40s on. And then I listened to Barack Obama's Audacity of Hope on tape as well. And they all gave me sort of inspiration and energy and ideas for probably a lot more quilts, but I decided I needed to just finish this one and get it done in time for the exhibit. I wanted the outside of the quilt, that's the black and white, sort of chaotically pieced, nothing lines up area, to represent the tumult of things that have happened to African people brought to our country to be slaves. And the history of both the strength it took them to just get through day to day, the things that happened to them, the violence, the abuse, I won't go into, you know, a lot of detail, but just thinking about those things and thinking of the strength it took to get through those things and not lose hope that tomorrow could be a better day. So I put those on the outside of the circle, and there's also there one of the fabrics has sort of what I would consider an African design angel on it, or different angels on it. And I wanted that to reflect the people who came before and some who died for the cause of forwarding civil rights. And then on the inside of the circle, I put the hymn, and I wanted it to look much calmer and to show more of the sense of inner strength that it took to get through these times. And then, of course, the red is both an O for Obama, but also the circle of the community that in our country, I feel there is a community of people who have wanted a day like January 20th to happen for now hundreds of years. And so I wanted that to be as solid and strong as that community, and also as elegant as I think Barack Obama is.
What are your plans for this quilt?
I don't really have any plans for it after this show. I did put that it was for sale if someone wanted to buy it, mostly because I thought if someone bought it, I knew they would buy it only because it really resonated with them. And I would be happy for them to have it if that feeling, you know, struck them as well.
Tell me about the exhibit.
Well, the exhibit was organized by Sue Whalen, who lives in, I believe it's Bethesda, Maryland, and who was excited about Obama's election and who had already donated a quilt to be hung at Obama's election headquarters in the county. And as she was bringing it home after the election, thought, wow, you know, this would be a really great idea to see what other people have done along the same lines. And I'm a member of the Studio Art Quilters Associates. I'm co-rep for Massachusetts in Rhode Island, and she put out a notice on the listserv. I believe she said something along the lines of, is anybody else as excited as I am and would like to try to get an exhibit together? And she had at least 60 responses within a few days. It's grown into a really nice group of people that have gotten to know each other using a Yahoo group and exchanging, you know, sometimes personal information, other times, you know, just information about how they were working or what were their motivations for making their quilt. It's going to be at the Montgomery Community College Tacoma Park campus at the, I think it's the Tayfritz Art Center. And I've seen that I went and dropped my quilt off there, and it's a beautiful gallery, and I think it will be a wonderful exhibit. I expect on opening night, March 13th, we'll have a lot of people there.
Are you planning on going to the opening?
I am. I actually lived in Silver Spring, Maryland, which is in the same county where Sue lives, and Tacoma Park is like right on, you know, it borders with Silver Spring, and I lived there for 18 years and loved the community and the area. Have just moved to Williamstown, Massachusetts about 2.5 years ago. So I still go back down a lot and visit friends, and I have my son and daughter-in-law and grandson down there, and two sisters, so it's a big draw for me to go back.
Tell me about your interest in quilt making.
You know, can I go back for a second just
sure.
about the quilt?
Sure.
Because I was just thinking, I'm very interested in politics and current events and have worked on campaigns, political campaigns, for about the last 8 years, usually for progressive people. And I worked on Obama's campaign, volunteered. I went up to New Hampshire and spent 3 weeks up there working for him and met wonderful people on the campaign who were just as excited as I was about how direct he was and honest and clear and seemingly very pragmatic. And it felt like this was someone who really would do things differently. And after 8 years of feeling very upset with the Bush administration, I really wanted to have him elected. I also have, my children were adopted as babies, and they're both black. And besides getting a good understanding of what racism is in our society by parenting black children, my son also had joined the Army and was sent to Iraq for a year. And I was so upset about that because I had been against that war since the, you know, very beginning. And the thought of possibly losing my son in Iraq for a war that never should have been started, just, you know, I was so anxious the whole year he was away. Thank God he came back safely. And is doing well, seemingly to have recovered completely, though certainly war has changed him, and he would be the first to say that. But so those were some of the feelings, too, you know, that I was having and things I was thinking about when I was making the quilt. It almost felt like there was just so much on my mind that it was impossible to try to get it into one quilt. And I learned a lesson of really trying to get it down to just one idea and not to keep trying to put everything you're thinking about into one quilt.
Is this quilt typical of your style?
I would say so because I work pretty intuitively. I think I've taken several workshops with Nancy Crowe, and she's been a big influence on me. Nancy Crowe is a well-known master quilter from Ohio, the town she lives in. I can't remember right now. Oh, I think it's Baltimore, Ohio. Pretty much working with getting out fabric, having an idea of how I want to start but not being sure of where it's going to go is the way I work. I tend to start either making fabrics by cutting things, slicing them up with the rotary cutter and sewing them together and then put them up on my design wall and say, okay, where am I going with this? That was how I started with the Obama quilt. I just got out a bunch of black and white fabrics because I felt I wanted it to be simple in that way of just not having colors mean anything. So that's pretty typical. I usually piece fabric together in different ways, put them up, and then keep moving things around and making more fabric until I like what I have.
What techniques did you use on the quilt?
simple in terms of techniques, because it is all rotary cutting, piecing, it's all cottons, some different weight, but it's all cottons. The verse itself, I wrote with a permanent ink fabric marker onto fabric, and the circle or O is cut out of one piece of fabric, and then I couched a chenille yarn down on the edging of the O on the inside and the outside. It's machine quilted, and it has a facing. It doesn't have a border or a binding. It has a facing so that there's no edge to it, I guess is the way you put it.
So tell me about your interest in quilt making.
Well, my first career was as a photojournalist. And I've always loved art classes, pretty much any kind of art classes. When my children were young, probably elementary school age, I took a class at a local fabric store just to see, okay, so what is this like? And I really enjoyed it. Even though I broke needles, I mean, I was really hopeless with the machine. But I learned a lot, and I really liked the way the teacher and the other students were very helpful. It felt very much like a community. By that time, I was a clinical social worker, and so, you know, working with people and communicating and feeling like there's empathy is something that comes naturally to me, or I should say that I want to encourage. So I really like the community of quilters, and I feel like you can go just about anywhere and meet other quilters, and they're down to earth, and in general, they are kind and caring people who will offer a hand at any time. I started collecting fabric and, you know, getting a decent machine instead of the one I bought at a garage sale that I couldn't figure out how to use. And after taking over our bedroom, we finished the basement, and I had my own room down there for sewing, which was fabulous. That was about 12 years ago, and now the house that we bought had a small barn on the property. It's 20 foot by 20 foot, and we turned it into a studio for me, and I feel like I get to come out to my own room and create whatever I feel like, and most of the time that's just the way it goes. That I'm very blessed and lucky to have this, both to have a studio of my own, but also to have something that I love passionately and that I feel like I'll be able to do for many, many years and still be learning and growing with the experience.
So describe your studio since you mentioned it.
Well, from outside, it looks like a small barn still. We kept what looks like the barn doors on the outside. It's a dark red. And inside, the walls are white. The ceiling is still a raised ceiling, as a barn would be, and it's covered in pine boards. So it's nice and warm looking and cozy. I have two skylights, and 5 windows and a door. I have a ceiling fan, and four fluorescent light fixtures that have daylight colored bulbs in them. So it's always nice and bright. I have a sewing table and my machine. I have three machines, so I pretty much just keep one on the table. And the contractor, when we renovated the house, I had him keep some of the kitchen cabinets, and they made me a table using two of the cabinets, and then we put an old door on top and put casters underneath, and it's my both ironing station and a cutting area. And then I have another table that I use for both cutting and just sort of stacking whatever fabrics I think I'm going to use for a particular piece. One wall is all shelves with big plastic baskets that have my fabric in them. And then I have a desk area, and one corner has my bookshelves, and I hope to get a nice little armchair to put there so when I need inspiration or need to remind myself how to do a technique, I can go sit there and look through my books and magazines. The floor is a, I think it's called plywood floor, and we painted it periwinkle because that's my favorite color. So I just feel like it's a very bright and inviting kind of place, and everybody who's come in always says, wow, this is great. You know, between your floor and the ceiling being the pine, it's just such a warm and inviting place. Oh, and I have a design wall up, 8-foot by 8-foot design wall on one wall, and a smaller one, I guess it's about 5-foot by 6-foot on another wall. So I'm always all set and ready to go.
Do you work on more than one thing at a time?
I usually work on one thing at a time, but sometimes I put something up, like on the other design board, like I might just put fabrics up there or something that I did and I want to do something like it. And so I put it to keep looking at it and decide what worked and what didn't. But most of the time I work on one thing at a time. And unless I'm working on something that's for a specific purpose, like I'm making it for someone or for a show or, you know, something that would have a deadline, I tend to be unorganized. Something will hit me. I'll see something, whether it's a fabric or you know, in, something in nature, or watching a film or a photograph, and I'll just think, "Oh, I just want to see if I can do that in fabric. What, you know, how I could play around with that a bit." So, I mean, if you came into my studio and looked at all the things I have hanging around, it's not like I have a style that you'd say, oh, that's what she does all the time. I might use the same techniques, but not much of it looks alike.
Whose works are you drawn to and why?
Oh, gosh, a lot of people, but I'm so terrible at names. Certainly Nancy Crowe. I just love her use of color and how vibrant most of her quilts are. I just think she does amazing work. Her work is something that I want to look at over and over again, and to me that's the criteria for success, something that you don't get tired of looking at ever. I love Jan Myers Newberry. Her work, I took a shibori class with her, and I just find her work incredible with the way she can both dye the fabric and do all the different kind of shibori design that she does in it, and then put it together in a completely creative and unique way. Um, I like Melody Johnson's work a lot. She does all fusing. But she has a very, she uses color in very exciting ways. It's always very vibrant and exuberant. And her designs keep me interested in them as well. And she does beautiful machine quilting too. Ricky Timms is another person who I took a class from and who gave me the freedom to just pick up the rotary cutter and start cutting. And I really like his work because of the free-flowing feel to a lot of it and the way he uses his hand-dyed fabric to just do, to me, just create depth that is always very warm and inviting. I know I could walk over to my bookshelf and I could see all the people whose books I have. Oh, I love Ann Johnston's work too. What she does with her dyes and paints and surface design things. And I really like Judy Hoework too, who is an Australian quilter, and I have one of her quilts. I took a class from her, and she's another person who just uses color exuberantly, and her designs are also very complex and interesting. I think that's all I can think of off the top of my head.
You did very well.
So,
you mentioned belonging to Sakwa. Do you belong to any other art or quilt groups?
No, I don't now. When I lived in Silver Spring, I belonged to a quilt guild down there that I really liked a lot, Nimble Fingers, which is in Montgomery County, and it was a large group, and so a lot of diversity in styles. And I belonged to a group called Cloth and Chocolate that was a small art quilt group. But since I've moved to Williamstown, the two guilds that I've gone to up here are all very traditional and focused more on things like bed quilts and charity projects. And I feel like quilting is my work. I do a lot of volunteer work for other things, and I don't want to do it for quilting. When I quilt, I do it for me. So, of course, I have made things for my family, but I don't want that to be my main focus.
You mentioned your family. So what does your family think of your quilt making?
Well, they're all very supportive. My husband is wonderful. As he says, he loves to see me out in the studio because he loves to see me happy. And, you know, without his support, wouldn't be able to do all the things that I've done with it in terms of going to workshops and, you know, all the equipment I have and things like that. Since I've moved up here, I'm not working anymore as a social worker. So I just, you know, I can spend the rest of my life on my quilting, and I think, you know, that says it all in terms of my husband's support for me there. My brothers and sisters, I have five, are all just, you know, think that it's fabulous that I do this, and, you know, none of them sew at all or have a similar inclination. I have one sister who does some jewelry, but nobody else is really in, or I should say, I feel they don't have the confidence to make art. I think everybody can make art, but they have convinced themselves they can't. And other than that, I think they don't understand a lot of how I do what I do. You know, they think like I go in and these things magically appear, and don't necessarily understand the time and effort that's gone into learning different techniques and you know, just the sort of sitting down and trying to do it for 8 hours a day, and that you have to make yourself do it. But they appreciate what I do.
So why quilt making? Out of all the artistic endeavors.
Well, I think a big part of it for me is I love the way it feels. And working with something that always feels soft and is malleable, and that you can do so much with. I mean, I find it more interesting than paper. And I was never particularly interested in painting, so I did like drawing, and still once in a while will draw. But just being able to look at fabric and feel it, and you know, the drape and the different sheens that you get on different kinds of fabric, threads, your choices of threads and paints, dyeing fabric. You know, they're all like probably it's the tactile element in addition to, you know, you get color and design and composition and line and all the other things that you get with any kind of art. I still make a lot of photographs and hope to someday get better at printing photographs onto fabric. I've done some of it, but not enough for me to feel like it's anything interesting yet. But I can control a camera pretty much as well as I can control a machine now, so I would like to sometimes at some point use that in addition.
What advice would you offer someone starting out?
Well, learn as much as you can. For me, I learned by taking workshops. I'm visual in every way, and so I need to see somebody doing it. I think some people can learn from books. I can look at a book and it can remind me how to do something, but I don't tend to learn very well from looking at a book. Hold on a second. Sorry, I've had a sore throat for a while.
It's quite okay.
But I think, you know, it's sort of, once you start learning a few different things, you recognize that the possibilities are endless. And that to me is what's so exciting. So I think once somebody starts learning and realizes, whoa, I can go from here to anything, I think that's very exciting. And I think actually joining a guild is another great way to learn, because you learn from other people and you get a lot of support and encouragement usually from other quilters.
What do you think is the biggest challenge confronting quilt makers today?
I guess I would say that it is seen in particular as a woman's craft, and so it's rarely or not as much as I believe it should be seen as an art, and it isn't valued in general as well as it would be, say, if somebody was making oil paintings. And even then, I think if it was a woman doing it, there's still a sense of, well, she's playing around rather than, you know, that her abilities, her art is what should be judged, not her gender. So I think it's something that, you know, people generally do because they love it, but it's an underappreciated art.
Do you think of yourself as an artist or a quilt maker, or do you make the distinction?
I think of myself as an artist. And I guess I like the word art quilter, even though I think that confuses some people because people, you know, when I say that to someone, they usually look at me blankly and I explain that I make hangings for the wall and they are quilted. But I don't make squares and I don't make bed quilts. So I think that's probably another thing that is an issue right now is I do think many quilts, you know, people can make bed quilts or wall hangs or whatever, traditional, and they are art. So it's a hard distinction. But ultimately, I think of myself as an artist.
How do you want to be remembered?
You mean as an artist or in general?
As an artist.
I guess I would like when people see my pieces that it gives them a positive energy, that it communicates to them, and I don't want to say uplifting because that isn't necessarily what I mean, but that it makes them think and feel.
Let's briefly go back to Obama, kind of trying to bring this full circle. I can't remember in my lifetime a president inspiring so much art. Why do you think that is?
Washington, but also that we need to come together as Americans that was so encouraging to hear after so much divisiveness. And, I mean, so much of what went on in the Bush administration sounded to me like the same stuff that went on during the Vietnam War, which I protested against, you know, in years and years ago. And the whole sense of after 9/11 that either you support what we do or you're un-American, I felt was so un-American. And I felt that Obama was saying to us again, American ideals are the ideals of recognizing and appreciating the diversity of opinions and respecting them. And that if we could all talk to each other without becoming so partisan, we would become a better country. And I think that call to Americans to become better people is why he's had such an impact on people.
Well, we've been talking almost 45 minutes now. Is there anything that you would like to share that we haven't touched upon?
Can't think of anything.
Oh, you did very well. I want to thank you for taking time out of your evening to talk to me.
Oh, thank you for doing this.
And we will conclude our interview at 7:23.